It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. There are a number of ways to measure the astounding growth of the fracking industry in the Commonwealth. Here's one. Companies have drilled more than 6,000 wells into Pennsylvania's Marcellus Shale over the last 6 years, making it the fastest growing state for natural gas production in America. But along with that growth and the potential economic benefit it brings, many citizens have expressed concerns about health issues related to natural gas development. Now comes a report from State Impact Pennsylvania about two retirees from the Pennsylvania Department of Health who say its employees were silenced on the issue of Marcellus Shale drilling. I'm joined now by State Impact Pennsylvania's Katie Culinary, who is reporting on this story. She joins us by phone from Philadelphia. Katie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Katie Culinary, can you hear us? And apparently, Katie cannot hear us. She is scheduled to join us to talk about her State Impact Pennsylvania report, which again quoted two employees who say that they were silenced on the issue of Marcellus Shale drilling. And the question becomes, did that come from the Department of Health? Was the Corbett administration in any way involved? We will talk to Katie about that, ask her questions about that story. That's coming up here on Essential Pittsburgh. We're getting her back on the phone line. And we will also take your calls at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. That's ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. And again, the number, 412-246-2002. We'll talk with Katie Culinary in just a moment. Also coming up on the show today, we'll get a visit from the journalists behind the fracking documentary Triple Divide and talk about their nationwide tour to promote that documentary. Also, Reed Frazier from the Allegheny Front with a preview of their series on water contamination caused by fracking. We are joined now by Katie Culinary, live with us on the phone from Philadelphia. Katie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much, Paul.
What exactly do these Pennsylvania Health Department retirees mean when they say that they were silenced on the issue of fracking?
So the two former employees, they're a community health nurse and as well as a staffer in the Bureau of Epidemiology. They say that staff at the state health centers and the six district offices for the Department of Health were instructed not to return phone calls from residents who expressed health concerns about natural gas development. The nurse, her name is Tammy Stuck, she says that in 2011, she received a list of buzzwords like drilling, gas, fracking, soil contamination, sort of a list of words and phrases. And if a caller said one of those words or phrases, Stuck says that she was supposed to take the person's name and number and pass that information on to her supervisor. Now, that, she said, was rather unusual because that was not normally the way she was supposed to answer calls at the health center in Fayette County where she worked.
How are calls concerning, you know, garden variety health concerns normally handled?
She said, you know, say somebody called the state health center in Fayette County and had flu symptoms. Stuck says that she would normally, kind of take that matter into her own hands. She would talk to the patient about their symptoms. She would talk to them about what kind of services the department or other agencies could offer, ask if they had seen a doctor. So when I asked Tammy Stuck about, even doctors that we've talked to in the past at State Impact Pennsylvania on the issue of health and drilling say that it can be actually a really tough problem to solve that involves toxicology and a lot of samples that need to be taken. You know, I mean, how would a community nurse handle a call like that? And she actually said that, you know, in this case, what she felt like was that they were being silenced from really dealing with the public. They weren't supposed to ask them any questions, weren't supposed to call them back. Ostensibly, somebody else was supposed to contact them. She never found out what the follow-up was. And instead of sort of being told what to do, how to handle these situations, what to expect, they were really restricted as to what kind of interaction they were supposed to be having with the public as far as health concerns when it had to do with drilling or fracking.
So the normal policy when someone calls in with a health issue concern is to engage that person, find out as much as you can, and deal with that issue in a more take more of an involved and direct approach. But it sounds like with issues relating to fracking, according to what these retirees from the health department were saying, is that it was to not be very engaged and to whatever was being asked to just to pass it along to someone else and not really to follow up on it.
Right. And the way it seems, you know, and sort of talking to so the other retiree that I spoke to was an employee with the Bureau of Epidemiology, which is where the Department of Health says all of these complaints ultimately go. They get logged in a computerized database. And the Department of Health says that the Bureau of Epidemiology is the department or the division within the health department that follows up on these cases. They will, if a physician is involved, they will deal with the physician. They will look at samples and see, you know, what kind of problems are being alleged. So far, the agency says that they've gotten 51 complaints. They've been tracking them since 2011. And from their investigations, the Department of Health says that there is no link between drilling and illness. But I want to point out here that the other employee that I talked to, Marshall Deasy, who worked for the Bureau of Epidemiology, this was his department. He was aware that a colleague was working on this issue, but it was not something that was openly discussed among fellow employees. It seemed to sort of have a code of silence surrounding it and have a very few people who were really sort of working on these issues instead of keeping the whole department informed and keeping it sort of part of the dialogue.
And when the retirees say that they were being silenced on the issue of fracking, by whom? Was it within people within the Department of Health? Was it higher-ups within the state government? Where is that coming from?
Well, the nurse from her experience, she said she received her list of buzzwords and her instructions about the calls from her supervisor. But she said that that was something that her supervisor wouldn't have had the authority to do, that it must have come from higher up in the chain, someone, you know, an official in Harrisburg or even in the governor's office. When we asked the Department of Health about this, they said that that was not the policy. They denied that there was a list of buzzwords that had been distributed and denied that there was a policy that staffers were not supposed to call them back. And the governor's office as well also declined to comment for this story. So it's not clear where these policies would have come from, but what these two former employees say is that it was likely that it would have come from some of the higher leadership within the Department of Health or even the governor's office.
And you have reported that the Department of Health, as you mentioned earlier, has logged 51 complaints. Is the state following up on these complaints? Is there any indication that they have followed up on them?
The Department of Health claims that they do follow up on all of these cases. They will call a physician if a physician is involved, as I mentioned before. And we've seen some evidence, some letters that have gone out, but that seems to be a question that still lingers from this story and would be a good follow-up, is to find out exactly how the department is following up on these calls. And I should say, you know, I should reiterate that the Department of Health says that they have done investigations that show that there isn't a link between drilling and illness, which, you know, when you talk to some public health advocates, say that there just isn't enough data out there right now to conclude that one way or the other.
There hasn't been enough study done. What are doctors saying about it?
Well, doctors are saying that, we've spoken to doctors at State Impact Pennsylvania who actually have treated patients who come to them with ailments like skin rashes, nausea, nosebleeds, and other things, that they say they've seen a direct cause and effect, that before natural gas development came in or before a compressor station to move that gas through a pipeline was built near them, that they didn't experience these symptoms. And they're experiencing them now, and so the doctors are trying to find solid answers, but it's difficult. Doing toxicological, investigations of a particular health problem can be very difficult. And one very vocal critic is a man named Dr. Bernard Goldstein, who is the former dean at the department, or rather at the University of Pittsburgh's Graduate School of Public Health. And one of the things that he has often said is that the Corbett administration really should have given the Department of Health a bigger role in overseeing the state's growing natural gas industry, particularly when the administration helped to push the passage of Act 13, which is our oil and gas law.
And I want to set up, we have a comment from Dr. Goldstein. I want to set that up and get to that in just a moment. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is State Impact Pennsylvania reporter Katie Culinary, who is discussing her story about Pennsylvania Department of Health retirees saying employees were silenced on the issue of Marcellus shale drilling and health concerns. In your story, Katie, you talked about, and you've mentioned this in our conversation already, Marshall Deasy, a former program specialist with the Bureau of Epidemiology, saying that the department also began requiring field staff to get permission to attend any meetings outside the department. And this happened, he said, after an agency consultant made comments about drilling at a community meeting. What do we know about this incident and what was said by the agency consultant?
Right. We actually don't know at this point what was said by the agency consultant, but both Marshall Deasy and Tammy Stuck recalled this same incident happening sometime in 2011. And again, there seemed to be sort of a cause and effect. Whatever comments were made were upsetting to officials in Harrisburg, either at the Department of Health or in the governor's office. And Marshall said that that employee who still works for the department was essentially told this will never happen again. After that, a policy was set in place in which all field staff, so that's community health nurses, consultants, other people who worked for these district and field offices, needed to fill out a form that would essentially describe, you know, who was going to be at a community meeting, what the role of the department employee was going to be at the meeting, what they were planning to say, and they had to receive permission in order to attend. Now, attending meetings is something that community health staff sort of do on a regular basis. It's sort of part of community health. They'll attend, say, a local diabetes task force or an infection control committee or, other committees at the local hospitals and things like that as part of, you know, keeping tabs on how healthy a community is and meeting with other officials. And so this to them seemed to be just sort of a very unusual clamping down on employees that had never happened before these comments were allegedly made. The Department of Health's response to that was that there isn't a form to be filled out, but the spokesperson, a woman named Amy Tsarsik, said that it is reasonable for a state agency to check on what staff is doing and saying when they're out in public.
Now, as for Marshall Deasy, who invited the aforementioned Dr. Goldstein, the professor emeritus from Pitt, to speak to employees at their quarterly epidemiology meeting about his work on shale drilling and health, as you've reported, Dr. Goldstein faults the Corbett administration for not giving the Department of Health a bigger role in overseeing the state's growing natural gas industry. Let's listen to Dr. Goldstein's comments.
I think notable, the Marcellus Shale bill that we have, our Act 13, provides an impact fee. $200 million a year, roughly, comes from that impact fee. Gets divided among 17 state agencies, sub-agencies, the Fish and Boat Commission. Not one penny goes to the Department of Health. The only way that you would not give a penny to the Department of Health from the impact fee is if you were absolutely certain that there was no health effects of the Marcellus Shale drilling.
And Dr. Goldstein also spoke about the need for the State Department of Health to monitor the impacts of Marcellus shale drilling. How are these monitored, Katie? What is he calling for specifically?
Right. What he's calling for is actually something that the Marcellus Shale Advisory Commission that was convened by Governor Corbett in 2011 called for in their final report. They said that the Department of Health should be monitoring over time the health of residents who live within about a mile of natural gas production sites, that they should have a protocol for investigating complaints, which it seems that they do have, and that they should have some funds for education programs for the public and for healthcare providers about what kinds of things to expect health-wise from natural gas development. That health registry, that monitoring over time of patients and that educational outreach does not seem to have happened. And that's something that the Department of Health admits But a big part of that, Paul, is funding. Earlier versions of Act 13 actually included about $2 million to fund these initiatives. But ultimately, it was cut from the legislation that now is part of our Act 13 that is in place. And ever since, you know, there have been a couple of bills that have cropped up from time to time in the legislature proposing new funding for this, but it just has not seemed to have sort of gotten back really into the political conversation. It hasn't seemed to do well when it's in the legislature. And so that's what the Department of Health says today, that they're still committed to the idea of a health registry, even though they say that so far they haven't seen a link between drilling and illness. But they're still committed to the concept of it. They're still talking to stakeholders, is the phrase that the Department of Health uses. You know, but without the funding, you know, there's really not a way to move forward at this point.
Well, what are other states doing? What does the funding look like in other states in the East, say Maryland, New York State, for example, where fracking is also being done?
Well, actually, yeah, in New York State, Governor Cuomo has sort of put large-scale hydraulic fracturing on hold until he can, until his Departments of Environmental Protection and Health have finished doing environmental and health reviews. They're sort of taking a look at all the literature that's out there, talking to other states, talking to states like Pennsylvania about how they're handling this and what they're seeing. And so that, I mean, it's caused a lot of frustration in New York State with people who want to see drilling going on there. But for now, for roughly the last 5 years or so, drilling has been on hold until these reviews can sort of come into place. In Maryland, however, they're taking another approach. The state is actually funding a study of what the potential health impacts would be. That study is coming through the University of Maryland and sort of looking at the potential health impacts of Marcellus Shale drilling in the western part of that state. I'd also add that Colorado has its own sort of protocol for dealing with complaints. They actually have a database that you can go to online on their Oil and Gas Commission's website where you can see actually every environmental or health complaint related to drilling by running a search on that database.
So is it fair to say, based on your reporting, that other states are being more proactive in dealing with health concerns related to fracking in Pennsylvania, are being more proactive than Pennsylvania is?
Well, you have to look at it in terms of the lens of state funding, right? I mean, funding usually shows, you know, what the priorities are. And so what a lot of critics have said is that because Pennsylvania is not specifically funding any initiatives, and it is sort of seeming to just sort of, you know, using just, they're logging these complaints, they're putting them in the database, they say that they're investigating them, but because the state is not funding a large-scale study, critics do contend that other states that are specifically studying this and specifically talking about the health impacts are kind of prioritizing that more than, say, Pennsylvania is.
And what is the Corbett administration's response? You say that you have not heard from them?
They did not choose to comment for this story, no.
State Impact Pennsylvania's Katie Culinary joining us by phone from Philadelphia. Katie, great thanks.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Coming up, we'll get a visit from journalists behind the fracking documentary Triple Divide. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.